This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 12th of April, 1957. The title of this lecture is Control, Communication, and Havingness, Part 1. It is Radiation and Your Survival, Tape Number 2. Copyright 1957 by L. Ron Hubbard in the United Kingdom. Copyright 1978 by L. Ron Hubbard in the USA. All rights reserved. Unauthorized translation, duplication, importation, and distribution is a violation of applicable laws. This tape is 45 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask you a question now. Do we have a Congress here?
Yes.
Very good, thank you. I'm going to ask you that a couple of times. Has the Congress started yet?
Yes.
All right. Well, we've agreed on it. Okay. Are we now in full swing?
Yes.
Very good. So I better get to work.
Yes.
It is quite interesting to be able to single out, out of the entirety of man, three factors more important and more valuable than any other factors. Now, some of the old-timers think I'm going to talk about ARC. And although the R is important, and although the A is important in the affinity, reality, and communication triangle, they actually do not rival in importance that one C, which is communication. Communication is the first of these three factors. And we all know a great deal about communication. But it's fitting that we begin this Congress with some communication on the subject of communication. And man beginning to communicate on the subject of communication is doing the strangest thing that he ever did in his entire career, which is not to talk about talking, but to communicate about communicating. And this is a very strange thing that we... Rising from our forebears, I think some of them could grunt. In fact, I think there are people back on the genetic line who could manage a grunt or two. I know I was listening to a political speech the other day, and the only expressive things in it were the grunts. It said that the chap had had a good dinner. But that man could communicate, to be heard by man, was hardly even dreamed of years ago, many, many years ago. That a tribe could be heard by another tribe, that was impossible. Over there, they didn't grunt, they glucked. And they went, bing. Different language, entirely different language. And as we looked across the face of the world, we found an almost infinite number of tribes. And these eventually, by processes of communication, boiled down to a very few tribes. There's the French tribe and the American tribe and the English tribe. Not much left of the Italian tribe anymore, but they're there. And these various tribes developed their grunts into articulation, which they call language, and then explained to one another that they had to go to war with one another because they did not speak the other's language. You couldn't understand the fellow because you couldn't talk to him. And that was about as much as man knew on the subject of communication in 1950. And ever since 1950, we've been working very hard to find a few more scattered data, if they existed. Now, what were the data that were important? Any old-timer in Dianetics and Scientology knows this. He knows you can't communicate without affinity. He knows there is no real communication without reality. And we have that famous triangle, the affinity, reality, and communication triangle, which is the most we knew about communication, really, in 1950. Even then, we ourselves believed that it was words, words, words. Of course, I'm pouring out a tremendous number of words at you. But actually, those words would never arrive or never be understood. If they are not spoken with affinity, which they are, and if they were not addressed to the reality of what we can do in Scientology, which is not very contestable today. And so we have communication. Communication, then, was understood by man before 1950 to be an improved grunt. It was his highest technology. Communication, that was an improved grunt. You said, "Mama, I'm hungry." That communicated. We said, "You dog, get back in your kennel." That communicated. It was words, wasn't it? It said, "Everybody who lives on the other side of the Danube is a barbarian." Well, those were words, so they must have communicated. Naturally, everybody on the other side of the Danube then, hearing these, would understand what he was supposed to do and would at once become a barbarian. Man's technology was totally involved in the band of symbols. And he'd even fallen below that. And do you know that there are actually people around who will not emit symbols? This communication aside, they won't emit symbols. You walk up to a chap on the street and you say, "How are you?" He doesn't even grunt. He looks at you stonily, you know. "How dare you speak to me?" is sort of the thought that would occur to him. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? You can't even get a symbol out of a fellow. Well, therefore, the ability of an individual to communicate is a case in point. An individual, in his management of life, in his ability, in how well he will succeed or not, is measured by his ability to receive and give communication. If he is able in life, he can receive and give communication. If he is not able, he cannot easily receive or give communication. Only it is not an Aristotelian piece of logic. It isn't that people just, this person doesn't communicate and that person does communicate. It's not black and white. It's a gradient scale. And up here, someone can communicate very well, and down here, someone does not communicate at all. But between these two is a tremendous band of difference of communication. By his communication, you may know him. Now, we have proceeded a long way when we've learned this. We have the tone scale as given in Science of Survival. The chart of evaluation that is totally based upon affinity, reality, and communication, expression of, and of these three, the most important is communication. We talk to somebody, we say, "How are you?" He says, "Well, I don't think I'll buy any." What do we know about this man? He's not only out of communication, but he is not aware that you're there. The reality is that low. He thinks you're a fishmonger. We have the thing called a communication lag, the length of time it takes a person to answer the exact question put to him is the communication lag. The exact question, answer thereto, and the number of seconds or minutes or hours or eternities intervening between the two go from the moment that the question is put to him to the moment he answers that exact question. And it tells you then that he can speak an outflow after having received an exact meaning. You say, how are you? Some chap who's in good shape says, oh, not too bad. The fellow who's in terrible shape, we say, how are you? He says, well, and he thinks it over, and it's true, and you can see it go through the circuits, and winds down around here, and it walks over this way, goes up a little elevator here. A little train of cars runs around in front of his face, each one with a sign on it. He's got a big machine over on this side. The wheels all ran in it. Then it stopped. And he says to you, finally, I don't think I'll buy any. Not only did he not receive the question put to him, but it took an unconscionable long time for him to tell you that he hadn't a clue what you were talking about. Now, that is a communication lag. A communication lag would be, how are you? Not too bad. It's the length of time between how are you and not too bad. But if we say, how are you? I don't think I'll buy any, the fellow says. Do you know the communication lag is going on forever? That communication lag is still continuing. He has not answered your question. And it's a great oddity and one of the skills of a Scientologist that if he asks the question again and again and again and again and again, the person will eventually answer the same question. He'll eventually answer the question. Now we ask this fellow who said, I don't think I'll buy any. We say to him again, how are you? Chain of cars, the elevator, everything, machine, so forth. And he says, but do you really have to let the air out of the spokes? You again ask him. You see, a communication lag is still running from the first moment you ask the question. Still running. And you say, prodding him along, how are you? Well, this time there's something happened. He says, it isn't the square root. You prod him along again. Understand, this communication lag is still running from the first time the question was asked him. You say again, how are you? Oh, he says, it's you, Joe. Communication lag's still running. How are you? You ask him again. Just confidentially, I feel like hell. And he has answered the question put to him. And the length of time it took from the first moment you asked the question, the time the question was answered, is the communication lag, and it might be hours, and it could be an eternity. Very probably, the reason most people are alive and surviving at this time is they are running a communication lag, and they have never run the lag out. Somebody asked them a powerful question somewhere on the beginning of track, you know, universe beginning, somebody asked them, they said, are you really a Thetan? You hear all of these millennia later, billions, trillions of years later, the fellow is still trying to answer the question, hasn't yet responded. Now, this is a ridiculous look at survival, but certainly one would believe that survival is of this complexion in most people, because when you speak to them, they're obviously thinking about something else. And I think you have, when you speak to most people, intruded upon one of these eternity communication lags. You actually probably should stand in the presence of such people with your hat in your hand, with a rather reverent look upon your face, because you're interrupting something sacred. Now, this little technology right there was the difference between being able to audit a case and not being able to. We asked first a question, and we knew better than to ask another question until he'd answered the one we asked. Otherwise, we just put him into a continuous auditing session. And so we did get answers to our question. Very recently, testing our old technology, and this is quite old, of course, in Scientology, but testing it again, a person was quite disturbed, spinning. And I simply dragged out this time-honored one, which is a rather long lag. You know, if a person really tells you how he is, really, he normally runs through a considerable lag before he arrives there, you know. You ask most people, you say, how are you? He says, I'm fine. It's a form of social greeting. You know, he's sitting there with a broken leg with Berry Berry. You say, how are you? You haven't actually received the answer to your question. It just sounds like it. There's not something else in it. Is it the answer to your question? Well, the answer to your question is indicated by his body, the reality, and his body is not in good condition, and therefore you judge that the reality of the answer is very poor. Therefore, it's not being made to you in present time. And so we become a little smarter about communication. Compare it to the reality of the situation. The whole town is going to pieces, you see. The buildings are falling down, and the walls are all caving in and so forth. And you say to this fellow, you say, exciting, isn't it? And the fellow looks and he says, oh, I don't think so. See? The environment he's in has lots of motion in it and so forth. And if we looked at him a little more closely, we would see a sort of a glazed look in his eyes. He has not answered our question. He has answered some other question that was put to him in the last war or something. You know. If we ask him the question again, and you said, exciting, isn't it, you know? Don't you think it's exciting? He would say finally, wow. I think it's terrible. Why didn't he tell you that in the first place? He was dazed. He was stunned. He was unconscious. He was saying, well, it can't affect me. It can't affect me. It can't affect me. That's what he was saying all the time. And therefore, it doesn't disturb me. Carrying on with it one way or the other. The attitude most people are in with regard to atomic radiation, atomic bombs, and world war. I don't know, I think we've already had 3, 4, 5, and 6, haven't we? World War 12. At least the next one will probably be worth 9. So, call it World War 12. People are looking at this tremendous spectacle. People testing off bombs that pollute the atmosphere and all that. And what do we find? They're saying, oh, I don't think it's very interesting. It's nothing to it, you know. There's the man's town falling to pieces, and he says, oh, I don't think it's very interesting. Why does he say this? He's dazed. He's numb. The state of shock is so great that he cannot respond to it. Therefore, he's running a communication lag on the question. This other fellow, though we said the town was coming to pieces, we asked him if he didn't think it was exciting or something. This fellow eventually said to us, wow! Good heavens, what's happening here? See, he woke up to it and looked at it. One of these days, the world is going to run its lag through this atomic bomb radiation thing, and it's going to look at all of these politicos, the rest of them, they're so happily, busily, you know, dropping a little gamma on you, and a gamma for you, and a gamma for you. And the world is going to say, wow, what's this? And they're going to ask the question, what are you people doing? Now, the other side's in the calm lag now. And they say, well, we're testing. You what? We're testing. What are you testing? We're testing to find out if bombs go off. But you found that out years ago. I know, but we got to test him. Who says so? I don't know. We can't find him. Well, it's one of the characteristics of communication that if a person doesn't give you an answer after a while, I noticed some of you get a little nervous when I was mocking up a comm lag up here, getting just a little edgy. The reason for that is you walk up to somebody and you are looking at him, you're addressing yourself to him, and you say, "How are you?" I don't think I'll buy any. All during that time, you're going, you're perfectly happy at first, you see, because communication is there, you thought. But when it becomes more and more apparent that there isn't, your affinity for him goes down, 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 down. And you say, his reality has something wrong with it. Is he a man? Is he a beast? A dog? What is he? And your affinity, therefore, thereby, failed. And his reality, as far as you're concerned, failed to some degree. Why? Because he didn't reply. And the world one of these days is going to say to the atomic physicists, to the politicos, to the boys who are getting a couple of quick shillings, manufacturing these things, they're going to say, "What are you doing?" And these fellas are going to go comm lag, comm lag, comm lag, comm lag, comm lag. Public is probably going to stand there saying, "Well, we're waiting to hear it. We're waiting to hear the answer. Any moment we expect somebody is going to give us an answer." They're going to say, "Now, wait a minute. These are not men. These are not men. These are something different. Martians, maybe, in a disguise. But they're not men. They're not part of us." They realize by blowing atomic fission all over the world, by using a weapon that is not valid in war, and will never be valid in war, these people are affecting their wives, children, parents, and any friend they have. And a fellow who will put, with malice aforethought, every friend he has, his wife, his children, his home, in that much jeopardy, cannot be human. And that's what the public will someday say. And if there's any public left by that time, they'll tear these chappies to bits. They'll dig the grave up of the man who started it. They'll strew Einstein's remains 3/4 across the continent. That is the fate of this particular research, what we're looking at by the laws of communication in Scientology. Why? Because the public is now running a dazed comm lag. It doesn't know what this is all about. You think it is just the absence of information? You think it's just the little bits of information that these people don't have? You mean you think they have to be educated? Oh, I'm afraid they know far more about atomic fission. They know when they have gastroenteritis, if you please, and their sinusitis is worse. And they look around and they say, "Why am I ill? Why am I ill all the time?" And somebody says to them, it's just you're just getting old. You've reached 19. And some mother says, "But my first two children got along all right in their first year. But this third one just doesn't seem to be moting at all. Sick all the time with a terrible rash of some kind. Nobody can do anything for it. What is this? What is this rash?" They keep asking the question. Someday or another, the answer comes through. Atomic radiation. And if you think that it's safe to do anything to the child of a mother, try it sometime. When you're tired of life, when you don't care what happens anymore, when you just feel a completely wild abandon about the whole thing, walk up to some lady on the street and grab her baby and say you're going to dash its brains out. Up to this time, she was a very docile character. She was an absolute model of domestic obedience. If you got any eyeballs left in your head in the next couple of minutes, we don't ordinarily look on human beings as savage or capable of a savage or forceful expression of opinion. But if you take somebody's children away from them, if you do things to people at this level, and they find out about it, that expression of savagery will occur. Even if it's made with the last breath in their body. Therefore, the world is heading toward a rather uncalm period.